Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Ryan, Home Field Apparel is supporting Gopher Gridiron Radio again in 2024. And Ryan, I hope that you ask all of the players that were wearing the Spin Your Head Goldie Gopher Home Field Apparel licensed vintage incredibly comfortable t-shirt. I saw Daniel Jackson, I saw Max Brosmer, and I'm pretty sure I saw Elijah Spencer all with that shirt on. I hope that you ask them how comfortable and wonderful that shirt was.
I don't want to ask them that. I want to ask them if they used promo code GG24 at checkout to save 15% off, because there is a new Spin Your Head Gopher t-shirt. To your point, Luke, all of the players were wearing it afterwards. Look, if the players are wearing it, you know it's good. You know it's comfortable. And Luke, to that point, I had a couple of people come up to me on Oak Street. They're wearing Home Field Apparel and they say, hey, where do you think I got this from? People are finally starting to listen to the good news, Mr. Luke Buehr, and that would be the comfortable, unique gopher gear at homefieldapparel.com, including this new Spin Your Head Goldie Tee. So if you want to check it out, what do you have to do? You go to homefieldapparel.com, find Minnesota, get the checkout. What should you do? You should use promo code GG, the numbers 24, and you'll get 15% off your first order. That is promo code GG24 to get 15% off your first order.
Welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buehr.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back to Champagne Week. Your Golden Gophers, after going undefeated in the month of October, now begin their month of November with a trip to Champaign, Illinois, to take on the number 24 Illinois Fighting Illini. I will be there. Luke, you'll be watching from afar. But before we get any further, I have to address something, Luke. Are you ready for this?
I guess.
So I have received as many emails, direct messages, whatever it may be.
Sure.
That, Luke, you're going to have to be the voice of reason with me here.
Oh, no.
People are saying that I am being way too negative about this Gopher football team, considering the streak that they're on. Do you agree or disagree?
That you're being too negative.
especially after the last Gopher Gridiron Radio episode, which thank you for listening. Again, I'm here for constructive criticism. I just feel like, was I really that much of a Johnny Raincloud? I kid you not. I got 7 or 8 different people saying I need to lighten up.
Yeah, you know, you surround yourself with people who are trying a little too hard to be objective, and I think you gave a fan perspective for a while, a little more of a fan perspective. I still give the Homer fan perspective, trying to be as objective as possible, but I'm an engineer, so I'm always trying to be logical. But in general, I think that you tend to be a little bit more critical, but I don't think that you're the aforementioned Johnny Raincloud.
Okay. Because it was certainly brought up to me after Parent of Spare, where I don't know. We'll see how I do on this episode, because this is a very interesting game between your Golden Gophers and the number 24 team in the country, especially considering, Luke, did you know 1 year ago at this time, as we sat down on Halloween Eve to record this episode, or whenever we did, your Golden Gophers were also 5-3, and they were also scheduled to face and did face the Illinois Fighting Illini to lead off the month of November. And then it went pear-shaped in that fourth quarter on those final few minutes, and then that set the tone for the rest of November. So here I am, Johnny Raincloud, saying, let's see if this Golden Gopher team, in the same exact spot that they were in last year,
yeah,
can get out of their own way in the month of November this year.
Do you believe, though, that this season is in any way akin to last season, in that, like,
they're very, very different.
They're very different. Yeah. And like,
especially offensively,
definitely offensively. The other thing that they're different is, like, specifically the Northwestern game, which predated the Illinois game. And those two are kind of symbiotically linked in the way that they went down, right? Where you seemingly are in a good position, but lose it late, right? That I think was the more frustrating thing if you're a Gopher fan, because you seemingly had a path to victory but couldn't hold it out. And we'll probably get into it later when we talk about injuries. Well, this may be a good transition, actually. You know, then you
what a natural transition.
What a natural transition that I just talk about how good, wow, a transition this was. No, but you know, last week, or I shouldn't say last week, on this last breakdown, we talked a little bit about the fact that, you know, and it was a talking point for many, especially on your message board on Gopher Illustrated, was, did PJ leave the starters, especially the defensive starters, in too long? And so to a certain extent, I understand PJ's point that he wants to set a tone, like, and set a mentality that you want to finish, even akin to, like, I went to the exhibition game last night against Hamlin, in a game that you know the Gophers are going to win, but then Frank Mitchell dies for a loose ball, gets landed on, it messes up his shoulder, right? So, like, you Ben said, I think somewhere on again, Ryan James said on your website, you know, Ben had some comment to the effect of, you know, I was preaching the, like, you know, do the right things, and, you know, trying to set a message and a mentality and in just a mindset, right? And then it results in an injury. The one thing that I kind of push back on, just with regards to injuries in general, injuries can happen at any time. Yes, I understand you maybe didn't need to have your starters in, but that injury could have happened any time throughout the game. It's they're somewhat happenstance. It isn't the fact that, you know, they were in those last couple minutes. Anything, it's just you can never predict it. It's too freak of a thing.
I will still die on the hill of when Fleck said after the game, and has talked about this week, that he kept the starters in because he had flashbacks to Northwestern and Illinois.
That was preposterous.
It is preposterous, because unless the head coach doesn't know how to do math, even when you put the starters back out onto the field, okay, you put them back out there with 5 minutes left in the game, you're up 25 points. Now, if my Oakdale, Minnesota education is correct, that is 25 points, or some would say a 4-score. This is when there's 5 minutes left in the game. In what world?
Yeah.
Is this anything like the Northwestern and Illinois situations? Yeah. And that's where Aiden Goosby and Ja Joyner get nicked up, which I will say this, and as should rightfully happen in my mind, if for some reason Aiden Goosby or Ja Joyner don't play a full allotment of snaps against Illinois because Fleck was so stubborn and kept them on the field late, he should absolutely be ripped. Absolutely. Yeah, there's no need to have job bleeping Joyner in the game when they're up 25 points with four or five minutes left.
Yeah, he definitely deserves some heat there. And you're right. Like, the difference between a two-score game with 5 minutes left and a four-score,
or even in this case, a four-score game.
Yes. Yes, there is a difference there. And you go back to that Northwestern game, it was a two-score game with like 11 minutes left. They're very, very different. Yeah, but I get that he has scars, right? From that, but I don't think it justifies keeping them in. Then again, when it comes to the injury, an injury can happen at any time. I'm not going to say because they were in, you know, that's the only reason they got hurt. I'm sure people will poke holes in that, but I'll say injury can happen on the first play and the last play, and anywhere in between. So,
all right, so let's get into injuries, which one injury that is confirmed is the Tyler Cooper injury, which if you weren't watching the game or didn't pay as much attention to it, Minnesota starting left guard exited the game at halftime and did not return. From what I gather from behind the scenes, because your favorite head coach refuses to talk about injuries, he is in the concussion protocol. So if Tyler Cooper were to miss this game, I wonder what Minnesota would do. I wonder if it would be putting in Tony Nelson, which the pride of Tracy, Minnesota, that's who played in the second half at that spot. I also wonder, do they shift Ashton Beers over to left guard and then shift Quinn Carroll back to guard and then give Phillip Daniels, the redshirt freshman, his first career start at right tackle? I would just say, if history is any indicator, because someone even like Christian Driver, who popped up on the injury report prior to the game, was out, sounds like he was in the concussion protocol. There just isn't a lot of history outside of Tanner Morgan in 2019, where Minnesota had a player clear the concussion protocol in just a one-week time span. So we're going to have to see if Cooper's able to go, but if he's not, I wonder if it is Phillip Daniels getting his first career start and Minnesota moving some other guys around, or if it's going to be the pride of Tracy and Tony Nelson doing so. Now, defensively, like I said, we're going to have to wait and see if Ja Joyner and Aiden Goosby are okay. Now, I've heard that both have practiced, at least in some capacity this week, which leads me to believe they're going to be available to play. But I'll continue to bang the drum of, in what world should they have been on the field in a four or a five score game, which they were on the field for in that fourth quarter. Now, where it gets interesting, Luke, is on the Illinois side of things. Because we should talk about the line, and I'll introduce it. Illinois opened this game in Las Vegas as a 2.5 or 3 point favorite. They're the number 24 team in the country. They're at home. They're 6-2. Minnesota's 5-3. Well, immediately the line swung 6 points the other direction to where, as we sit here Wednesday night late, Minnesota is favored by 3. Now, what are your thoughts on that? Because some of it's going to be injury related, and I'll get into it, but a 6-point swing in this day and age of how efficient Vegas lines are is very surprising.
Yeah, I mean, it likely says that a fair amount of money had come in, right? Or alternatively, they got some information that would lead them to, like you said, injuries that would lead them to believe the odds of Illinois winning should go down. I was surprised like that. I'm not going to let's go back to the beginning of the season, Ryan, when we talked about our predictions. We both picked them to lose this game. Ironically, both picked them to lose at 21-21. Them being the Gophers would lose this game. It's one of those ones we designated as a coin flip again. I still think it's a coin flip game. We all know Bielema's success against the Gophers. I was surprised in the end that the Gophers are favored. Ultimately, I think that they have a great offensive coordinator. I'm curious to see their defensive scheme has given the Gophers fits in the past. It's gonna be a really good game. I really hope the Gophers come out on the right side of it, but it'll be a really good chess match. That's what I'm excited for.
It will be. So here's where Illinois is at least publicly injury-wise. So they're starting tailback Caden Feagan, who had a great game against Minnesota last year in Minneapolis, is out for the season. He's had hip surgery. So now they're going running back by committee for the Illinois Fighting Illini between Aiden Lott. I think it's Lafferty. Is how you say that name? I should have had you try to enunciate that one. Josh McCray. And one of my favorite names in all the Big Ten, Khalil Valentine. And that is C-A-apostrophe-L-I-L Valentine. But where it gets interesting is one of their best receivers and one of the best receivers in the Big Ten, in my mind, is Pat Bryant. He is now in the concussion protocol, as confirmed by Brett Bielema earlier this week, on a hit that it was originally called targeting, but the flag overturned it on review. So the question is, does Illinois fast track him through the protocol? As someone who has had multiple concussions in their life, every concussion is different. Luke, you and I both know this. We're talking about a brain injury. So there is a protocol, but it's not exactly a linear step process. So I would be surprised if we see him on Saturday. And again, we're talking about someone who's all Big Ten caliber. He's got 34 receptions for 510 yards and 7 touchdowns. He is their big play threat, especially in the red zone. So he's in the concussion protocol. See if he's able to go. But the other part of it is defensively, Illinois had 4 defensive backs leave the game last week against number 1 Oregon. I don't believe they returned. And we're talking about their top 3 cornerbacks in Caleb Patterson, Torrey Cox, and Terrence Brooks. Now, Bielema earlier this week was optimistic, which, of course, it's not like you're going to tell PJ Fleck on Monday, you should start game planning as if we're going to have many defensive backs out.
Right.
But a 6-point swing is a 6-point swing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some of it's because maybe bettors think Minnesota's playing really well right now. Illinois 6-2, but they're banged up. I think they're a little bit more banged up than Minnesota. So keep an eye on the availability reports Saturday morning. I'll be tweeting it out around 9 a.m. from Champaign, because who plays and who does not play, as we're going to continue to say here throughout the month of November, is going to have a massive swing.
All right. When the Gophers are on offense on the season, the Gophers are averaging 27.9 points per game, whereas Illinois is giving up 20.6 points per game. When it comes to total offense, the Gophers are averaging 334 yards of total offense, where Illinois is giving up 366 yards of total offense. The Gophers are averaging 108 rushing yards per game, where Illinois is giving up 154 rushing yards per game. And then passing yards per game, the Gophers are averaging 226 yards of passing yards, and Illinois is giving up 211 per game. So, Ryan, if the Gophers are going to find success against this Illinois defense, how are they going to do it?
Well, they're going to need to bring the physicality, because while they may not have the bodies that they used to in the last couple of meetings between these two teams, it's a Brett Bielema coach team, which means what? They are going to be very big and very physical in the trenches. And if Minnesota does not bring that for an 11 a.m. start in Champaign, it's going to go the way that it's gone the last 3 times. And this will be the first time, and I'm sure we'll say it a couple more times on this episode, there's a reason that Brett Bielema is 10-0 against the Golden Gophers in his tenure as the head football coach at either Wisconsin or Illinois. It's because his lines have been very, very good, and they've won the battle up front. Now, I will say that this is an Illinois defense that has just been okay. I'd even argue there have been, in certain areas, such as pass defense, subpar. Now, that's what happens when you lose guys defensively like Devin Witherspoon, who in that 2022 meeting, and they had 3 defensive backs go in the top 65 or top 70 picks, where even you'll remember Chase Brown was really good. He's now scoring touchdowns for the Cincinnati Bengals. Or last year, Jerzon Newton is someone who wrecked the game. He sat out the first half and then came in the second half like a wrecking ball. Now, they do have some players like Gabe Jackus. He's their best pass rusher. But this is an Illinois defense that has just been kind of okay. And that's where Max Brosmer has been obviously much more than okay. I believe he was the Davey O'Brien winner this week. You saw multiple NFL draft people tweeting about Brosmer, and you get why. He's completing 75% of his passes in the month of October, 9 touchdowns, no turnovers, no surprise. As a result, Minnesota went 3-0. I would just say the history of Bielema defense is going against Minnesota quarterbacks here the last 3 years. I mean, Minnesota quarterbacks have been just god-awful in these games. Now, a lot of that, I think, is about the quarterbacks for Minnesota and the offensive line play and just not playing well. But there are going to be opportunities through the air in this game. And that's where if the offensive line, which goes back to my main point, if they can bring the physicality, if they can be consistent, if they can give Brosmer time, which they have been able to do, they only gave up 4 sacks the entire month of October. If Brosmer's kept clean, I think he's going to be able to slice and dice down the field. But that's where if it gets pear-shaped, it's because there's a lot of pressure on your favorite college quarterback.
Yeah, one thing that's interesting to me, you know, at least as I've thought about Illinois the last few years under Bielema, is they've been really good defensively. Obviously, Purdue's coach, Ryan, I'm forgetting his last name.
Walters.
Ryan Walters went to Purdue, became the head coach there. He hasn't found a lot of success, but doesn't really mitigate the fact that he had an incredibly good defense. And part of that was some of the corners that he had and just the talent they had, like you already mentioned, Jerzon Newton. But I was surprised to see, you know, that Illinois' defense as it related to like total offense was 10th. You know, in the Big Ten, I was just surprised that they're giving them up as much through the running game and through the passing game. And even points, like I've always thought they're great. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is they are where they are, but they've also played Penn State and Oregon, two of the better teams in the entire conference, right?
Right.
And the other thing to keep in mind, too, is there's a lot that was thought of Kansas early in the season. Now Kansas really doesn't look like...
Turns out they stink without your guy from Litchfield, Andy Kotelicki, who's now doing really, really well out of Penn State.
Yeah, they're now, what, 2-5 or 2-6? I'm not even sure. Yeah, 2-6 overall. Yikes. In general, I just think that... I think that there's a combination here of Illinois has played some really good teams, and their defense maybe isn't nearly as good as it has been in the past. But I think you brought up a great point with the quarterback play, Ryan. Like, I feel more confident in Max Brosmer than I do in any of the preceding quarterbacks that the Gophers have come in with going into a game against a Brett Bielema defense.
Yeah, this Illinois team is very interesting. They are 6-2, and their two losses are to two teams that would be in the college football playoff as we head into November in Oregon and Penn State. But, you know, I'm very curious to kind of see where they're at. And what do I mean by that? This is their fourth game in a row. They got a bye week next week, which I do think factors into some of these injury decisions that Illinois is going to have to make prior to game time. Minnesota is only on their second game in a row. They've played two very emotional games, one being the 100-year jersey against Michigan where they're able to win that one. I think everybody stormed the field. Then they get absolutely boat raced by the number one team in the country. They're down 35-3 at halftime. Again, I just don't think that Illinois has the NFL bodies like they used to, or at least the last couple of years. I mentioned the names. You got the three DBs a couple years ago that went in the top 70 overall in the NFL draft. Jerzon Newton was incredible. It's why he was a top 40 pick. Again, I think they got some players defensively, but this isn't the same type of team that they've had previously, which is why if you can keep Brosmer up, I think you're going to be able to have some success.
You know, it's also interesting. I just want to highlight this with regards to injuries before we take a quick break. Is you mentioned that bye week, right? And if you look at the remaining schedule after the Gophers, you have Michigan State, Rutgers, and Northwestern. You know, it's not that they're not going to play to win this game. They're absolutely going to play to win this game. And I want to acknowledge that Illinois also is probably one of the most underrated coaching staffs, and from a scheme perspective has always kind of killed the Gophers, especially mm-hmm. under Bielema, right? But it would not surprise me, to your point, that they try to rest some guys, try to get them healthy after this bye, because they have three games that they're likely favored in going forward, you know, home against Michigan State, at Rutgers, and then home against Northwestern. So that will be an interesting thing to monitor. Anything else before we catch a quick break?
The only other thing I'll say is Illinois defensive coordinator Aaron Henry did say that he thought Daniel Jackson is the most underrated receiver in America, of which I went to Daniel Jackson today at media availability, said, "What do you think about that?" He's like, "Yeah, that's great, but it's in, I mean, what's he supposed to say?" And I was like, that's so... you can tell that's a veteran, because yes, what is he supposed to say? But it's glad to see some other people are recognizing how special of a talent Daniel Jackson is.
Yeah, can we just go back to the Coy Parrish? That's terrible, right? The difference
yeah,
between
the moment
freshmen.
That went viral around, unfortunately, because of this reporter's question.
Yeah, that was so good. Okay, let's catch a quick break. We'll be back. We'll talk a little bit of defense. Ryan, Dinkytown Real Estate Group is here to support Gopher Gridiron Radio and, more importantly, Dinkytown athletes and the athletes that it serves. You know, the weather is getting colder, but that doesn't mean that it's not a good time to buy a house. It's oftentimes when you can get some of the best deals in the market. These are experienced real estate agents that are going to take a portion of their commission, and it's going to go directly to Dinkytown athletes to support their initiatives on NIL. So if you are looking to buy or sell your house, please reach out to this very veteran group of real estate agents that can help you get the best bang for your buck.
They continue to sell houses well above asking, or if you're just trying to figure out how do I get into the, I want to buy a home and I don't know anybody and I know it's complicated to get into. What I want you to do, go to teamdinkytown.com, all one word, or you can just give them a call. They'd love to talk to you at 612-250-8562.
Ryan, the Burns Insurance Agency is here again to support Gopher Gridiron Radio. I know it's getting colder out, Ryan. I'm starting to see some snow in the forecast. That can mean two things, right? Number one, it can mean you're going to get your snowmobiles out soon. Or number two, it can mean roads are going to get slick and there are going to be accidents. Let's make sure you have the best coverage possible for the best price possible.
Exactly. And that's what the Burns Insurance Agency, owned by my father, wants to do. They believe in service, service, and service. They don't want to be the biggest insurance agency in the world. They know that's not possible. But they want to be the one that gives you the best possible coverage at the best possible price while putting your needs first. Now, they are not just licensed in the great state of Minnesota. It's both of the Dakotas, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, New York, Florida, and Utah. So if you think you're paying too much for your home, your auto, whatever little toy that you do have, check them out at insurancebyburns.com or email him, bill@insurancebyburns.com.
All right, Ryan, let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. On the season, Illinois is averaging 27 points per game. Minnesota is averaging giving up 16.8 points per game. Illinois is averaging 356 yards of total offense, where Minnesota is averaging giving up 283 yards of total offense. Illinois is averaging, let's see, in their rushing offense, 144 yards per game, where Minnesota is averaging giving up 120 yards. And Illinois is averaging 212 yards through the air, and Minnesota is averaging giving up 162 yards. One thing to note, Minnesota is plus 10 in the turnover margin, where Illinois is plus 6. Illinois has taken away the ball 14 times to 8, where Minnesota has turned over the ball 17 or taken the ball 17 times and given it up 7. So what are the Gophers going to have to do to be successful at stopping the Illini offense?
Don't let the Illinois quarterback for the fourth consecutive year against Brett Bielema turn into a college football Hall of Famer.
Well, let's be really honest right now. Luke Altmaier wasn't the hero last year. It was John Paddock.
Well, here, just to make a point, and I looked into this. So the quarterbacks that the Illini have trotted out there against Minnesota, can you name the four? Because if you can, I will buy you mudslingers for a month.
So John Paddock, Luke Altmaier.
Yep.
I don't think I have anyone else.
You're missing touchdown Tommy DeVito.
Oh yeah, Danny DeVito.
Brandon Peters.
Yeah. Oh, okay. and then the guy from also the guy maybe not against the Gophers, but the guy that was he was at Rutgers, right? What was that guy's name?
Artur Sikowski, but Artur he's not Sikowski. Good. Okay. So that's where the following Illini quarterbacks have played against Minnesota in the last 3 years. Brandon Peters, Tommy DeVito, Luke Altmaier, and John Paddock. Okay, the Golden Gopher defense has allowed them to play at an all Big Ten level, if not college football Hall of Famer level, if you extrapolate it over 13 games. What do I mean? Illini quarterbacks against Minnesota with Brett Bielema as their head coach, are completing 77.6% of their passes with 7 total touchdowns and only 2 turnovers. Like, they just turn into whatever you want. Now, I understand that it's a new year. It's a new defensive coordinator. Minnesota's defense is playing really well. Illinois has been very up and down, I think, offensively here, especially of late. Now, they've played some really good defenses in Michigan and Oregon, certainly. But let me also say this. I have a ton of respect for the Illini's offensive coordinator, Barry Lunney Jr. I think he is one of the best schemers in the Big Ten. I think there's a reason that Bielema went out and got him from the great state of Texas to bring him up to Illinois. I would also say, Luke, which this transitions me into, Minnesota cannot allow Illinois to get off to yet another fast start. What do I mean? Illinois has scored touchdowns on their opening possession against Minnesota in each of the last 3 years. It would be really nice, Luke, if Minnesota doesn't give up a touchdown on the opening drive to immediately be down 7-0 or 7-3, whatever it may be. I would love for them to come out hot, but I think people need to know that Barry Lunney Jr. is very good at what he does. He's very multiple. They do a lot of different things. And I even think Luke Altmaier, their quarterback, he is a handful. I mean, he's someone that leads all Big Ten quarterbacks in rush yards since the Illini bye week, which was 3 weeks ago. He's run for 168 yards and 9 first downs. He is a scrambler, so keeping him contained in the pocket is essential. But we're also talking about a guy that he's completing about 63% of his passes, 15 passing touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Luke Altmaier has been much improved since the Gophers saw him. And even when the Gophers did see him, I believe he was 24-31. So this is going to be a test, because I think this is the best scheme that Minnesota may have faced since. I think this is going to be a game at the end of the season, to put it another way, that you're going to think about Illinois' offense and think about how is the University of Illinois going to end up probably with 7, 8, 9 wins. It's because Barry Lunney's scheme is very multiple, it's very complex. And that's where, if Minnesota is going to be able to stop the Illini, they have to be able to get pressure, because no Big Ten quarterback has been under more pressure than Luke Altmaier, who has seen 102 pressures. That's the most in the Big Ten. And no conference quarterback has also been sacked more than 23 than Luke Altmaier. So I think the recipe I'm laying out here is pretty clear. If you can get pressure on Altmaier, there's going to be some opportunities to take the ball away, which is going to be a huge part of this game, because you noted it. Both teams are very, very positive in the take give, +6 versus, I think you said, +10 for Minnesota. Is that right?
Yep.
So whichever team can turn over the other quarterback or the other offense is going to be in a much better spot. But do not sleep on this Illini offense, regardless of who is playing.
Yeah, and if you look back to last season, Altmaier was 24-31 for 212 yards, right? He was sacked 5 times and threw 1 interception, hurried 9 times, according to the ESPN stats I was quickly able to pull up. You know, he had 212 yards, 3 touchdown passes, and then John Paddock came in, was 3 for 3, 85 yards, 28.3 yard average, 1 touchdown. That was an incredible
one of the
drive.
Most mind-boggling calls of the Joe Rossi era.
Yeah,
is that touchdown to Isaiah Williams, where Illinois has one receiver that can beat you, one receiver that is worthy of an NFL roster, and Isaiah Williams, he's in the slot, and you ask your linebacker and Cody Lindenberg to carry him 25 yards down the field. Absolutely insane. Joe Rossi did so many good things here at Minnesota.
Yeah.
But that defensive call is the most mind-boggling one of his tenure.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. Like you said, all the respect in the world for what their offense is able to do, and how they've especially schemed well. And you know, this defense can be a little bit boom or bust, as we talked about last week. You hope they're definitely on the boom end against Illinois here. Any last things? Otherwise, I'm going to jump into facts and figures.
Let's do it.
All right, facts and figures. This game will be played on November 2nd. This is an 11 a.m. Central game at Memorial Stadium in Champaign, Illinois. In the overall series, Minnesota leads 40-33-3. The current streak, Minnesota has lost the last 3 games. And as we know, all three have been coached by Brett Bielema. Minnesota, I find this kind of interesting. Minnesota lost the first meeting 11-10, which is just like a scorenami to start off your first meeting.
Which we should know, last week's final of 48-23, Carl Anderson, our favorite SID, did confirm that is a scorenami for your Golden Gophers.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This game will be broadcast on FS1 with Tim Brando and Devin Gardner on the call, and Josh Sims as the reporter. The same crew for the Gophers with Grimm, Daryl Thompson, and Justin Gard on the call. Yeah, so it should be fun. Ultimately, you know, I think we have to talk about the fact that Brett Bielema has never lost to the Gophers, whether that be at Illinois or at Wisconsin. So the Gophers are trying to avenge that current kind of nightmare streak that they have running. But all, you know, all the respect in the world for Brett Bielema and what he's been able to accomplish. And he, as I think we've talked about previously, is just a much better fit in the Big Ten than maybe he was in the SEC. And, you know, maybe Illinois has some seller's remorse, or sorry, not Illinois, Wisconsin might have some seller's remorse there.
Yeah, we'll get to that when we talk at the very end about Big Ten teams. That Wisconsin team is a very, very interesting team to watch here in the month of November now.
All right. A couple more facts real quickly. The Gophers come in 5-3, 3-2 in the Big Ten. Illinois 6-2, 3-2 in the Big Ten. And let's take a real quick look at the weather. So for this game on Saturday, an 11 a.m. kick, it looks like it'll be about 55 degrees. Doesn't look like it should be terribly overcast. And then the game should peak out right around 62, 63. So it looks like a beautiful day. Wind shouldn't be a problem. It does look like they're going to get some rain, but that'll be overnight into Sunday. So it shouldn't be impacted by rain. All in all, looks like a beautiful day. And then looking at the aforementioned line, as Ryan said, it seemed to open for many Vegas outlets in favor of Illinois. But currently, as I see it, it's -3 in favor of the Gophers, with the over-under that I see right now is 45.5.
That has actually been bet down a couple of points, which mm-hmm. is interesting. So,
all right. I don't think I have any other facts and figures for this game. There's one. There's probably one. The Gophers currently have won 3 Big Ten games in a row, looking for a fourth. You know, that's not a terribly common thing to win 4 Big Ten games, unless your names are Ohio State, Michigan, occasionally Michigan State, Wisconsin, Iowa. It's good to see the Gophers on a streak. Would like to keep it going, and as we talked about that 3-game stretch, Ryan, the stretch of Maryland, Illinois, and then Rutgers, got to go 2-3 in that stretch, and want to, you know, ideally go 3-0. So what are your keys to the game for the Gophers to have success and find a win on Saturday?
Yeah, you want to go 2-1, and obviously it'd be very ideal to go 3-0. I would say if Minnesota is able to win this game, this would be their first 4-game win streak in the Big Ten since 2021. So it was just done a few years ago. Welcome to the changing times of the Golden Gopher football program. But my key offensively, I mentioned it earlier, you have to bring the physicality on the offensive line, and you have to have Max Brosmer stay hot. Because this identity for Brett Bielema, why does it continue to work against the Golden Gophers? They're very, very physical. And whether it's Bielema wearing Badger red or Navy blue and orange, the identity of his teams don't change in that regard. They punch people right in the mouth, which is why Illinois, of all teams, it continues to be ranked heading into November. Now, this isn't the top defensive unit that the Gophers have faced in years past. I've talked about some of the names that are not there anymore. And as we sit here today, Illinois' defensive efficiency, according to ESPN, ranks 15th out of 18 Big Ten teams. And Illinois is also allowing the fourth most yards in Big Ten play at 420 yards. Plus, they're not stout against the run. They don't have the best athletes. There are some real weak points. There are. But I'll remind people, Gopher quarterbacks against Brett Bielema defenses the last 3 years have gone through absolute hell. What do I mean? Gopher quarterbacks in that 3-year span have completed only 47% of their passes, for an average of 135 yards with five interceptions and three touchdowns. That's horrible. Now, Max Brosmer is not horrible. Max Brosmer is really bleeping good. Max Brosmer has thrown or has totaled nine touchdowns, no turnovers, and is completing 75% of his passes in the last month. So something has to give here. And where I think people should watch this game is on third down. Gopher offenses have really, really struggled on third down against Bielema defenses. Minnesota has only converted eight third downs in their last three games against Illinois. Think about that. Luke, they've only converted eight third downs in three games. Minnesota converted nine last week against Maryland alone. Now, this is a very different Illinois third down defense in comparison to other years that Minnesota has played them. As we sit here today against Big Ten opponents, Illinois is allowing 49% of third downs to be converted against them. On the flip side, Minnesota's third down offense has gone from one of the worst in the Big Ten to one of the best in the Big Ten, which I don't think probably gets enough talk. Last year, Minnesota converted 35% of their third downs. That was third worst in the Big Ten, 106th nationally. This year, Minnesota is converting 47% of their third downs. That is fourth best in the Big Ten, 17th nationally. So if Minnesota continues to convert third downs at that rate, guess what? You're going to sustain drives. Guess what sustaining drives leads to? Points. So something has to give here. Minnesota hasn't really played well offensively at all, especially through the air. This passing game is coming off their best performance of the season, which is why Max Brosmer threw for 300 yards, which did we talk about? Someone tried to tell people last week on the preview episode that maybe Max Brosmer was going to do so.
Yeah, I gave you your flowers.
Luke, you know that.
I gave you your flowers on the episode. So,
God, I wish I wasn't so negative. That's where if Brosmer's under duress, it's going to be a here we go again. But if this Brian Callahan offensive line unit, which has only allowed four sacks in their last three games, can limit the pressure again, that should be good omens for your Golden Gopher offense. Now, defensively, I'm very tired of the Illinois quarterback turning into a college football Hall of Famer. Those four quarterbacks I mentioned earlier, Brandon Peters, Tommy DeVito, Luke Altmyer, and John Paddock, have played at an all Big Ten level against Minnesota. Their combined stats show you a 77% completion rate, seven total touchdowns, two turnovers. So if that's going to change, you're going to have to get Luke Altmyer, who's got a 5-1 touchdown interception ratio, off his mark. Now, as good as he's been, and he's been pretty damn good, there are some warts. And what are his warts? Well, while he may just have three interceptions, he is tied for the second most, what Pro Football Focus deems, turnover-worthy plays. What does that mean? They define it as a pass that is a high percentage chance to be intercepted or a poor job of taking care of the ball and fumbling. Luke Altmyer leads all Big Ten players, regardless of position, with six fumbles this year. It's worth mentioning, worth noting, and he's got the second most, as I said, amount of turnover-worthy plays among Big Ten quarterbacks. Now, where Altmyer gets dangerous is with his legs. Since the bye week, which was three games ago, he's run for 168 yards and nine first downs. If you want to do the averages, that's somewhere around 55-ish yards per game on the ground with three first downs with his legs alone. He's a scrambler. Keep him contained in the pocket, because if you do, there is going to be an opportunity for sacks. No Big Ten quarterback has seen more pressure than Luke Altmyer, 102 pressures in eight games. And that's where he has been sacked 23 times in eight games. So a Gopher defensive line that is, I'd say, struggling to get home on sacks, but they have a very good pressure rate. We're going to see if there's finally maybe a little regression to the mean with the Gophers getting home on more sacks. But the game plan is the same as it always is. Get the opposing offense off track on early downs to allow your chaotic and helter-skelter passing down package force turnovers. No Big Ten team has forced more takeaways than Minnesota with 17. And if the Gophers are going to get out of Champaign with a win, that number's got to continue to rise. Now, finally, Luke, I have to talk about it, because this may be in what is projected to be a coin flip game, and we'll talk about it. whether it's analytics, whether it's Vegas, one of the places it can swing is special teams. And I know people are tired of me talking about it, but here's why it's worth talking about. If you look at Bill Conley of ESPN's SP Plus, he's got offensive ratings, defensive ratings, and special teams ratings, Luke. His metrics via the stats have Illinois special teams as the fourth best special teams unit in America. Minnesota, in the very same metric, you would be absolutely gobsmacked to know, are 110th.
All right, hold on. Kelly Ford has Illinois second in special teams and has Minnesota 131st.
So you have a bottom five special teams for Minnesota and a top two for Illinois is what you're saying.
That's what Kelly Ford has. I mean, between both of those, I mean, it's a top and a near bottom special teams. So,
well, some would say sweet giblets and junipers. Some would say sweet Moses of Mary, which that is a big discrepancy and something that gives me the ability to not sleep at night, because your boy Bob Ligaszewski's special teams currently, after their Maryland performance, still have a negative 25 in terms of points added via special teams. Now, I'll give Dragan Kesich his flowers. He made both of his field goal attempts last week, which that's a great start to get right back on the horse after the bye week. But Minnesota special teams cannot fail them. There cannot be a blocked kick. There cannot be a blocked punt. You'll remember back to that Illinois-Michigan game. Illinois ran a fake punt with great success. Illinois is incredibly good there, and you are not. So don't be the biggest reason why the team struggles. And if they do lose, I do not want to lead off my takeaways with, can we fire another special teams coordinator? Because what in the world are we doing?
At a certain point, I think you have to start changing your best, Ryan, and ask yourself, is it the coordinator or is it something else?
Or why did PJ Fleck suck at special teams at this point? Look, yeah. I don't disagree with that. I would just say, I continue to just be like in my mind, Luke, how can this possibly get worse? And the answer is it always can, apparently, with special teams. So they did better last week. Kesich made his kicks. Maybe this is the game. Coy Parrish pops one in the punt return game as well. I just have no hope for kick return, and I don't think I ever will. Even with Coy Parrish back there, I will add, because their blocking in front of him is just some of the worst you'll ever see. But if Mark Crawford can just be average Big Ten-ish, and if Dragan Kesich can make his kicks, you're going to win this game. So don't be the reason that they lose special teams, because you are at a gigantic disadvantage.
All right, so let's get to our predictions quickly. Ryan, on the season, I just want to congratulate you. You've pulled ahead slightly here. You're 6-2 straight up. You're 3-4 against the over-under, and you're 2-6 against the spread. Conversely, I am 5-2. No, I am 6-2 against I'm 6-2 straight up. I am 2-5 compared to the over under, and I am 2-6 against the spread.
So at what point do people really just start fading whatever we say spread over under? Because we are clearly horrible at it.
Well, you're not bad on the over under. I still think you could end positive. We got no chance on the spread though. We are absolute straight garbage. Okay, so the lines we're going to use, from what I can see, is Minnesota -3.5 and the over-under at 45.5. I can go first. I'm currently sitting in the position of I am going to pick Brett Bielema against the Gophers until proved otherwise. I will pick Illinois 24-23, a very close game. The special teams very well could be the difference. I think from I just trust that staff a ton. I think the Gophers are playing well. I think they'll keep it competitive against the number 23 team or 24 team in the country. But I'm just going to give the very slight edge to Illinois until I've been proven otherwise.
Okay, we're going to differ here, because Johnny Raincloud over here is going to pick the Golden Gophers.
Can you imagine the heat I'm going to get for this?
Well, I can't imagine. I wouldn't want to be you if you were to be me on my what I assume it, on my flight from Chicago to Champaign, which has to be on a crop duster, right? Like a one by one across.
I'm a little surprised you didn't just drive.
Well, here's what I'll say about that. I'm not against driving.
Yeah.
I want nothing to do with 9 to 10 hours in the car driving through from Minneapolis to Champaign in and around the first couple days of November. As someone who has spent essentially every night in a tree stand, I know how much these deer are moving, especially at night. And that would, especially kind of coming back on Sunday, my entire Sunday would be shot. I wouldn't be able to get anything done work-wise.
Right, fair enough.
Wouldn't be able to do a podcast. But yeah, it's... So we ended up taking a flight, or we're going to be taking a flight. So here's the glass half full scenario. If you want to be Mr. Positivity, 95th percentile outcome for this game. Illinois comes into this game. We talked about it earlier. 15th in the Big Ten in pass defense. They're allowing a quarterback rating of 158 through five conference games. Opposing quarterbacks are completing 67% of their passes, with a 9-3 touchdown to interception ratio. Knowing that, the glass half full scenarios, Max Brosmer and Greg Harbaugh, they continue to hum along. Minnesota puts up 30 plus points. And with an early hole to dig out of, Illinois can't do so offensively. The discrepancy between Luke Altmaier's turnover worthy plays and actual turnovers, see some regression. The Gopher defense continues to capitalize. Minnesota steamrolls Bielema 31-17. Now, on the Johnny Raincloud, Illinois has scored a touchdown on their opening possession in each of the last 3 years in this game. It happens for a fourth straight. Minnesota gets down off the bat, never is able to recover. Heatherman's defense isn't able to get consistent pressure on Altmaier, and it's yet another season of the Illini quarterback looking like a Heisman winner. Illinois' defense gets Brosmer off schedule because of pressure. Illinois wins 24-13. Now, as always, Luke, reality is somewhere in the middle. So why I'm picking Minnesota is this. I think injuries are going to play a part in this. I don't expect Pat Bryant to play. We're going to have to see if some of the defensive players get back for Illinois. But I do think that they're going to play it smart. If there's a guy on the fence, I do think they will elect to let him sit, especially with a bye week next week. I also think this game, to me, comes down to, I think both offenses are going to put up more points than expected, which is why it's surprising to me that the over-under has gone down a couple of points, because Minnesota's offense is humming really well. I have a lot of respect for Barry Lunney and what he's been able to do. I think Minnesota wins this game 27-23. That would be a Minnesota cover. That would be an over. I just think that this isn't the same Illinois defense of yesteryear. Jerzon Newton and Devin Witherspoon and some other guys aren't going to be running around out there that are just game wreckers or erasers for a defense. I think what Brosmer and Harbaugh got going on right now is fun to watch. I think Minnesota holds up in the trenches just enough, and it wouldn't shock me that yet another Max Brosmer fourth quarter drive gives Minnesota what they want, which 6-3 would sound pretty dang good going into my favorite week of the entire season, the revenge game for everybody involved, but we'll have plenty of time to get to that. So I'll say Gophers get a ranked road win 27-23.
All right. The line, actually, I misspoke. It was 3, not 3.5. And the other thing I wanted to note was, you know, your theory about the bye week and just some of the sentiment that you're hearing out of Illinois coaches, like they're really talking up Minnesota more than I think I've heard in recent years. Not saying that they don't have respect for Minnesota normally or even this year, but you might be right. They might be trying to kind of push a narrative like, hey, this Minnesota team is really good.
I think Minnesota is a good team.
I do. But I'm just saying, like, I think they are also kind of, maybe this is, again, I'm getting into conspiracy theory realm here, but like I've noticed it more than I have in the past.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting game all around. There's a lot of respect between Bielema and PJ. For those of you trying to remember, what's their history? I remember after Minnesota beat Iowa in 2023, Fleck talked about how in the offseason he spoke with Brett Bielema about what is the approach to beat Iowa? How do you do it? Because Fleck knew he'd been struggling, and that's where the two had connected. I think they became a little bit closer because of it. Now, it's not like they're best friends or anything like Mack Brown and PJ Fleck.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a little bit more a backstory there.
All right. Okay, fun. We'll see where this goes. We differ, which, you know.
People like that.
People like that. Yeah, we differ.
Yeah, Johnny Raincloud. Why are you always so negative?
I'm pretty negative. That's true. Okay, let's get into the other Big Ten games quickly. Okay.
It's not exactly quickly because I believe there's no bye weeks this week.
Oh, really? Okay. Number four, Ohio State travels to University Park and Beaver Stadium to take on the Penn State Nittany Lions in, I don't know, man. Ohio State 3.5 over under 45.5. You saw the quarterback's comments, right, for Ohio State?
Yeah, I will also recant that statement. There are two teams on bye. But yes, Will Howard, the Ohio State quarterback, is a Pennsylvania native, and he was not exactly tickled pink that the Penn State Nittany Lions did not want to recruit him out of high school, went to Kansas State, now at Ohio State. And then we also have on the flip side, Luke, is Drew Aller going to play?
Yeah. Now,
from the Penn State media today, he was running around doing some things. But this is a huge game.
Mm-hmm.
Is this finally the day that James Franklin gets over the hump and wins a big game like this?
Or
Vegas,
Ryan Day.
I know, has this more of, is more of a coin flip. I think it's Ohio State is a 3-point favorite-ish.
Three and a half, yeah.
But I want to see if the X factor for Penn State is Litchfield's own Andy Kotelicki. Is the new offensive coordinator going to be the reason why Penn State finally gets over the hump? Well, at halftime of this Gopher game on FS1, you can flip over and start to find out.
All right. Northwestern travels to Purdue. This is an 11 a.m. kick on BTN.
This has to be the worst game of the year, right?
Northwestern is a 1-point favorite, over under 46.5. I would say this probably is likely one of the worst games of the year.
This is there's never a bad day to watch football. Let me be clear about that. But I don't know how diehard you have to be to get excited about a 3-5 Northwestern team traveling to a 1-6 Purdue team where the get in price is $11 for a 58-degree day in West Lafayette.
All right, number one. Oh,
just so bad.
All right, number one, Oregon travels to the Big House to take on Michigan. This will be a 2:30 kick on CBS. Oregon is favored 14.5, and the over-under is 45.5.
There's no shot Oregon actually loses a game like this, right? I think Oregon is the best team in the country. I think they're a justified number one.
I think that I do too.
Michigan's quarterback situation is just
it seems unlikely.
Which Jack Tuttle retired this week because he got another concussion. So that's one of the quarterbacks out of the mix there. So it's either Davis Warren or Alex Orji. Even if their defense is able to stifle Oregon, I don't think they can score nearly enough points.
I think the only way is if you just turn them over so much, right?
Correct. Which, what propensity has Dylan Gabriel shown that that's going to happen?
Yeah. Okay. Number 13, Indiana travels to East Lansing to take on Michigan State. This game, Ryan, ironically, is going to be on Peacock at 2:30. Indiana is an 8-point favorite with the over under 51.5. Can I give you my conspiracy theory as to how I think Michigan State could win this game?
I mean, it's a touchdown spread. I don't think it's that crazy, but go for it.
Aiden Chiles out a dots Indiana and hits many explosive plays, and Joe Rossi's defense does wonders.
It wouldn't shock me. I would say we'll have to see if Curtis Rourke is back for this game, Indiana's transfer quarterback, or if it's going to be another week of the backup. Indiana has such a chance here to make the college football playoff. I mean, the run that they're on reminds me of 2019 Minnesota. And that's where if they can just finish, now they have Ohio State left, but they can even afford to lose the Ohio State game, in my mind, and still make the playoff. this has to be a win for them going against your guy, Joe Rossi.
All right. UCLA travels to Lincoln to take on Nebraska. A 2:30 kick on BTN. Nebraska is favored by 6.5. The over under, Ryan, is a league low 39.5. And Ryan,
what?
Nebraska has 5 wins. If they win this game, they are bowl eligible for the first time in a long time.
So here's my question. Say UCLA and Ethan Garbers, who is playing really, really well.
Yes.
Before their bye week. Now, they got a bye week to prepare. I think Nebraska also got a bye week to prepare. No, that's right. They lost to Ohio State last week in a one of the worst refereed games you're ever going to see in the Big Ten, which I know what the gravity of that statement is. If Ethan Garbers goes in there and Eric Bieniemy and him make some magic and they're able to win, is Nebraska favored in any of the remaining games? They're on the road at USC, home against Wisconsin, at Iowa. Can you imagine if Matt Rhule somehow, after starting 5-1, does not find a way to make a bowl game?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting narrative to watch. This seems like a really big game for them because it's conceivable that they drop the next 3. So
this is going to be a big, big game for Nebraska. If they want to get to bowl eligibility, this is their best chance of the remaining 4 in my mind.
Yeah, and UCLA is just better than their record, as we've talked about. They beat Rutgers in, what was that, 2 weeks ago now? Yeah, they're just better than their record. Okay, Wisconsin travels to Iowa City. They're going to be under the lights at Kinnick for a 6:30 kick on NBC. Iowa is favored by 3. The over-under is 40.5.
Which, speaking of Wisconsin, this is a game I think Wisconsin needs. Now, it is an incredibly difficult spot. We all know the magic of Kinnick at night. There's a reason why Iowa's favorite, even with the switch to now Brendan Sullivan, which Cade McNamara is magically in the concussion protocol this week. So he's not going to be likely playing for this, considering I think Kirk Ferentz said yesterday, their hope was he could go to class today. Okay, well, that probably means he's not going to be having a shot to play against the Wisconsin Badgers.
Yeah.
Because here's the Wisconsin schedule. They get a bye week after this to prepare for #1 Oregon before traveling to Nebraska, which I think is certainly a coin flip game. And then they get Minnesota at home on a short week. Like that game last week for Wisconsin, where you're leading at halftime, you knock out Drew Aller, and then you lay an absolute egg in the second half, combated by your quarterback throwing a pick 6. I think Wisconsin needs this a lot more than Iowa, but I have a lot more faith in Iowa at home in Kinnick.
All right. USC travels to Seattle.
I'm so disappointed this is not a 10 p.m. kick that as I lay my head on the pillow, I can't have football all day. Luke, you need to write to the Big Ten commissioner about that.
Yes. So USC will travel to Seattle to take on the Huskies in Husky Stadium. USC is a 2.5-point favorite. The old Pac-10, Pac-12 foes have an over-under of 55.5 on the season. This is a big game for both teams. Washington's 4-4, seeking bowl eligibility, and USC, conversely, is also 4-4. USC maybe has a little better path, but not a great path with Nebraska, UCLA, and Notre Dame left. And then Washington has, oh, goodness, I clicked on the wrong link, my bad. And then Washington has USC, Penn State, UCLA, and Oregon, and they need this game in the worst way.
I think USC ultimately takes this, but that reminds me, Luke, we have one final game to talk about, one that I haven't prepared you for. It is Louisville versus Clemson. And the reason we're talking about this 6:30 night game at Memorial Stadium, in which Clemson is a 10.5-point favorite, is, Luke, I think the listeners would care to hear what you got going on this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to Clemson for this game. Going with some college buddies. It's gonna be a fun experience. So we gotta let's just say I got my duck beer already. I'm gonna bring it with me on the plane. And we're gonna bring it to the tailgate, and maybe we're gonna try to sneak a duck beer into the stadium to have the first one in Clemson State. I think they call it Memorial Stadium too. But yeah, going to experience some ACC football.
You're
going
to have to take a photo and put it on social media if you're able to do that, Mr. lawbreaker over there. I often think about you as such a lawbreaker.
Like, what are they going to do to me if I do that, though? They're just going to take it.
The 5'11 ginger, probably not a whole lot.
5'11. I love how you like to make fun of my height. I'm not that much shorter than you. Yeah, it should be fun. I'm excited to check out a different stadium, but more importantly, I'm excited to be with some friends and just watch football and hang out. It's as we often talk about, or I often talk about, the shared experience is undefeated, and this opportunity came up and we jumped on it. And I think it's just going to be a fun time. We're going to go find a bar and watch the Gopher game together. Then we're going to go to the tailgate and then head to this evening game. So it's going to be great.
I love that for you. So while I am sitting in Champaign, Illinois, one of the best Big Ten cities in all the country, you get to be in Clemson Stadium, Memorial Stadium, in a night game against Louisville. It's a tough life to be you, Luke. You're so, out there, everybody tells you.
Yeah, so one of my parents' good friends, he played at North Carolina State, so he's familiar with Clemson Stadium and being in and around there, being an old ACC guy. He was the center for Roman Gabriel, actually. And whenever the Carolina Panthers would come to town, Roman Gabriel was color commentating. You probably have no idea who Roman Gabriel is, Ryan. So
you're going to have to
pull out Wikipedia. He was a color commentator for the Carolina Panthers, and he would always go to the games to see, his quarterback. But he told me, he said, Luke, I was talking to him the other day, and he said, Luke, you need to get to the game about 30 minutes before game time, because he said forever they run down this hill, and for some reason everyone in Clemson thinks that's magic.
I love that for you.
Yeah,
I love that for your college football experience.
I'm not even joking. The person that is like setting up this tailgate for us, which I'm eternally grateful that they're setting it up and we get to participate. But she said, we have to get into the stadium. You have to get into the stadium early, because when they run down the hill, it's almost spiritual. And I'm like,
almost spiritual. Wow. What am I listening to?
And she said something to the effect of she bleeds orange. So yeah, it's going to be an experience. I've never experienced a game in the South before. And I'd consider Clemson the South. Would you?
South Carolina, yeah. Anybody who refers to me as a sir and ma'am and probably has the same haircut as them and themselves and their cousins, where maybe the family tree looks like a wreath instead of an oak tree. Yeah, I think South Carolina probably fits the bill more than many people want to understand.
All right, well, we'll keep you up to date. Again, I want to thank our sponsors for making Gopher Gridiron Radio possible. Home Field Apparel, the Burns Insurance Agency, and Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group. We want to thank you all for listening as well. Hope you enjoy the game, and go Gophers.